What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 79. We're doing a whole series on the ketogenic diet and all the benefits of it. So we're going to talk about how the keto diet can help with gout and honestly prevent you from ever getting it. But first, let's do a quick check-in. So Tom, how's your week been?
So I have a race coming up next Saturday. So I've been, you know,
trying. Long-ass marathon.
Yeah, it's a 50K. So it's like 31 miles of like trails. So there's a bunch of hills and stuff like that. So most of my runs have been, I've been doing a 15 mile run on one day, which is 7.5 miles up a damn mountain, 7.5 miles down the mountain. Not the easiest training run. And then the following day I'll do another like 10 miles while my legs are all sore and stuff like that. To kind of, because like trying to run 30 miles or 25 plus miles takes all day. I don't really have that much time, so I kind of split it up that way. So yesterday I was like, all right, I need to get at least one run of 20 miles in before this race. Mm-hmm. So that was my goal yesterday. And I've also been doing all these races, not only in a fasted state, but I guess like a dry fasted state.
Like no nothing.
No nothing, no water, nothing like that. I have a backpack on just so my body gets used to it and so I can carry some stuff with me, like my wallet, phone, that type of stuff, car keys. Because that stuff gets annoying.
Do you carry like salt with you or sugar with you just in case?
No.
Okay.
I probably should when I'm on the mountain.
Just in case.
Yeah. So the place I did this training run at yesterday, it's like a 2.25 mile loop. It's around a lake. There's one big hill and then the rest of it is relatively flat. Okay. So it's not the hardest spot. So the weather recently has gotten a lot warmer. So like
crazy. It happened in like a day.
Yeah, it's about 20 degrees warmer than what it has been the last like few weeks. And when I'm running up a mountain, the higher I get, the colder it is. So, you know, it's a completely different like animal. I'm not ready for it to be summer right now. It's February. So I'm doing this run yesterday, sweating like crazy and everything like that. And then I get to about mile like 14 and then I just realize like, I'm not sweating right now. I'm like, this can't be good. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking, I was like, I was going to do two more laps. Like after that lap was over, it was 15 and I was going to do two more to make it up to 20. But I was like at mile 14, I was like, you know what? I should probably just not continue this because there's a good chance like I'm going to like pass out from like heat exhaustion or do some like serious harm to my body.
Sure.
So I was like, okay. So I just ended it at 15. I was a little disappointed in myself, but at least I was smart enough to kind of figure out like, oh, hey, this isn't right.
Something's going on.
Because I was, every like 20 minutes, I was like wiping the sweat out of my eyes and stuff like that. Because one thing with the mountain running, I have this like little like headband thing to like cover my ears because like my ears get freezing cold when on top of that damn mountain, it's in like the 30 degrees, 40 degrees. So like you need some protective like clothing. Mm-hmm. But like the run I was doing yesterday was like mid to high 70s, all outside, no shade, nothing like that. So yeah, I was just like, yeah, getting the salt in my eyes, sweat in my eyes all the time. And then just kind of like realizing like, oh, hey, I haven't done that for probably like a half hour. What's going on? Just kind of like do a quick little like check-in. I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm sweating at all right now. I'm like, this can't be good.
Yeah, so just, you're not drinking water, so your body stops sweating to honestly conserve your blood volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would have been fine. I doubt you would have died. But if you wanted to stop, it makes sense.
Well, I don't think I would have died either, but I just don't know what I really would have been gaining from putting myself in, like, that much of a stressful, like, position.
Yeah, if you're going to put yourself in a stressful position, do it on game day.
Yeah. So I was just like, the only reason I wanted to do 20 miles was just kind of like, that's a check mark.
Yeah. Hey,
I
did 20. But you know you can do this.
Yeah, I already know I can do this. And the mountain running is way harder than, like, what I was doing yesterday and stuff like that. So it's just like, okay, well, now I know I can't go forever without water. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there is a limit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's it for me. What's new with you?
Well, I mean, I'm sure people can hear I'm a little nasally, so might have a little cold. Mr., you know, never get sick, might be a little sick, but refuse to let it stop me, you know? Just keep on going, same old stuff. And this week, just continue the research on all the benefits of the ketogenic diet. We've done a lot of episodes now. We've covered diabetes. We've covered... God, what else? We've covered a lot of things. I guess just the different fuel sources, carbs versus fat, NAD, NADH ratio, all the stuff we've done on the benefits of a low-carb diet, you know?
So, we did heart disease.
We did heart disease last week as well. That's what I was trying to think of. So this one is a little more, I guess, low-key. Not too many people are going to, I guess, care about gout, unless you have gout. You know, it's not like heart disease, it's not like diabetes, where it's like a...
It's in your face all the time.
Yeah, there's not commercials about gout, you know what I'm saying? But everyone knows about the American Heart Association and stuff like that. So it was a little more low-key doing research this week, but it still matters. You know, if you have gout, you know it. You know it's very painful, and it sucks, so...
And people love bringing up gout when it comes to, like, the high meat diet that we're eating.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Oh, you're going to get gout. You're going to get gout. And it's like, okay, first of all, you probably don't understand what gout even is, or, like, how it really works in the body.
Yeah.
And they're not alone, because even the doctors today, most of them don't understand really what's going on with gout.
Exactly, yeah. So we're going to break that down, exactly what it is. So I guess you want to just talk about what even is gout.
So it's a painful form of, like, arthritis, and usually you're going to get it in your fingers and your toes, most likely your big toe. So the signs and symptoms of it include, like, pain, swelling, and redness in the joints, and it's something you're going to get, like, all of a sudden. It's not like it's a continuous pain all the time. It's kind of sudden, and then it goes away, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have it, you definitely know it, because it's very painful.
Like, it'll wake you up in the middle of the night type of painful.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something you can really kind of keep yourself distracted from.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be in your face when it does happen. So, it was first classified by British physician Alfred Garrod in the mid-19th century, and it's caused by too much uric acid in the blood. Uric acid accumulates in the circulation and then crystallizes into sharp urate crystals. These crystals then lodge in the soft tissues and in the joints of the extremities. And like Tom said, it's classically in the big toe. It's where it happens. And it causes inflammation, swelling, and excruciating pain. And this might be the first disease of civilization, since it originally affected the nobility in Britain in the 17th century. And these were people who could afford to indulge in the excess eating of sweets and alcohol, which are the two primary drivers of gout. So if you never heard the term diseases of civilization, we've talked about that at some point, right?
Well, it's pretty much all the diseases that we're dealing with today. Diabetes, heart disease, cancer.
Alzheimer's, stuff like that. Because these diseases are not prevalent at all in kind of hunter-gatherer societies.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Unless they're trading with us. Unless they're trading for sugar and flour.
Yeah, that's true. But if they're kind of living their normal, I guess, ancestral way of living, they're not getting any of these diseases. That's why they're called diseases of civilization.
Well, and it's funny that you brought up, like, this might be the first one, is, well, like, how would you really know about diabetes if you were having it? How would you really know that your heart is messed up unless you died of a heart attack?
Very good point.
And they probably weren't really, like, their autopsies weren't as well as, like, ours are.
No.
They probably didn't really even know where to look. So... I mean, but this one's clear. Like, you have a shit ton of pain, or you don't. Like,
yes.
You would kind of realize
and you can tell, like, visually, my toe is inflamed.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about with the diabetes. No one's in pain when their blood sugar is 255.
Yeah, it's like, these are stuff that's going inside your body that you can't really know about until you actually understand the mechanisms. This one is kind of clear.
Yes, exactly. And so, gout may not affect you directly, but it is super prevalent. 6% of all American men in their 50s and 10% in their 70s suffer from gout. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It may have increased 5 or 6 times since the 1950s. And we've talked about in the past, post-World War II is when processed foods really started hitting the shelves in America. We had all these factories designed to build bombs, pretty much, and just a bunch of terrible shit to kill people. And we really transformed these factories to, instead of building bombs, to building crazy food concoctions. You know, think Twinkies and Ho-Hos. Mm-hmm. This is literally what happened.
And we had to learn how to do all that stuff to help support the war effort, too.
Yeah.
So, like, we came up with all the mechanisms, and then, like, oh, hey, now we have all these factories to make it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, the perfect combo to make everybody fat and sick in our country.
And it worked, man. It really did. So gout isn't really a confusing disease. It's not like heart disease. It's not like cancer, where there's a bunch of little details and it's just complex. Gout is caused by too much uric acid in the blood. Plain and simple, it's done. It's one of the reasons why gout doesn't get a lot of attention or funding for research, because we have drugs that can help us get rid of excess uric acid. We know how to treat the symptoms very well, but traditional medicine is still behind on what the root cause of gout truly is. For example, where does uric acid come from, and why does red meat usually get blamed for gout? If someone goes to the doctor for a gout flare-up, the first thing the doctor will tell you is usually stop eating red meat. That's like the go-to recommendation. And the logic behind this seems sound. It makes sense on a surface level. Uric acid is a byproduct of protein breakdown, specifically purines in protein. These are the building blocks of amino acids. So think of high protein foods. Obviously, you're going to think of meat. So steak is high in purines, no doubt. And if too much purines causes gout, it makes sense to cut off the dietary source of purines. You know, it kind of checks the logic boxes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's you have too much uric acid in your body, well, what causes that uric acid? Oh, it's a purine, so let's just not have purines in our body. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless there's a lot of other benefits to it, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So what are other foods associated with gout? So organ meats are really high in purines. Seafood, especially like shellfish, are really high in purines. And then also game meat. So do any of these things have like anything else in common?
Yeah, they're extremely nutrient dense.
Like, honestly, if you were telling me that you were eating organ meat, seafood, and game meat, and that's all you were eating, that sounds like you're living, like, the most optimal diet possible. Like, a diet that we've been eating for, I don't know, millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years. So why is it a problem now, but it hasn't been before?
Exactly.
Or are we just destined to have excruciating pain in our toes?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is that what makes us human?
Yeah, that's what classifies us, right? Yeah, why don't you tell them, like, literally what you Googled in the first thing that came up. Like, this is what's going to happen when someone gets gout, or they're like, you know, your dad gets gout. Someone just Googles it.
Yeah, it's organ meat, seafood.
No, I mean, what did you literally search?
Oh, I said, what foods are associated with gout?
That's plain and simple. That's going to be, like, the common search, and that's the answer they're going to get.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But does this work? Does the recommendation of cutting out meat really work with health? I mean, with gout? If a low purine diet works, it'd be pretty much a vegetarian diet. But here's a quote showing that being a vegetarian doesn't help with gout in any significant way. And I'm pulling these quotes. Again, all these studies are going to be on the website. This is from Gary Taubes, who he's the author of Good Calorie, Bad Calories, and
The Case Against Sugar, Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It.
Prolific researcher.
Yeah. And he hates sugar.
He hates sugar. Yeah, he really does. So if you're looking for any opinion that not against sugar, I mean not for sugar, look up Gary Taubes. He got you. So this is a quote from him. Quote, a nearly vegetarian diet, for instance, is likely to drop serum uric acid levels by 10 to 15% compared to a typical American diet. But that's rarely sufficient to return high uric acid levels to normal. And there is little evidence that such diets reliably reduce the incidence of gout attacks in those afflicted. Thus, purine-free diets are no longer prescribed for the treatment of gout, as the gout specialist Irving Fox noted in 1984, because of their ineffectiveness and their minor influence on uric acid levels.
So basically, purine from the diet has very little effect on the uric acid levels in our blood.
So why recommend a low purine diet?
Especially if you're telling people, hey, don't eat organ meats, don't eat seafood. I mean, almost everybody recommends that you should be eating seafood.
Yeah, that gets a pass from everybody.
Yeah, and don't eat game meats, which is also another way of saying natural animals.
Like, yep.
Animals living a natural diet. Yeah.
So it's horrible advice. So do vegetarians suffer from gout as well? Yes, they 100% sure do. And this is actually pulled from, I love India for kind of, to make a case for us, like, you know, our argument. Because the best thing about India being huge and predominantly vegetarian nation is they have a ton of data showing how unhealthy you can truly be eating only plants. Like, the data's out there. So here's a quote. The incidence of gout in vegetarians, or mostly vegetarians, has always been significant and much higher than is generally assumed. One mid-century estimate, for instance, put the incidence of gout in India among largely vegetarians at 7%. Remember, in America, men in their 50s, only 6%. Finally, there's a repeated observation that eating more protein increases the excretion of uric acid from the kidney, and by doing so, decreases the level of uric acid in the blood. This implies that the meat gout hypothesis is at best debatable. In the high protein content, the high protein content of meats should be beneficial, even if the purines or not. So meat's not the problem. So going vegetarian isn't going to help. And that's because it's not a problem of too much uric acid from purines. It's a problem of too little excretion of uric acid by our kidneys. This is the real cause of gout. Quote, by the 1990s, Gerald Reaven, among others, was reporting that high insulin resistance and hyperinsulinemia raised uric acid levels, apparently by decreasing uric acid excretion by the kidney, just as they raise blood sugar by decreasing sodium excretion. It appears that modulation of serum uric acid concentration by insulin resistance is exerted at the level of the kidney. The more insulin resistant individual, the higher the serum uric acid concentration. That's it.
And these phrases should be pretty familiar to you because we've been talking about them forever.
For weeks at least.
Insulin resistance and hyperinsulinemia. Like, those are two horrible things caused by pretty much just too much carbs in your diet. So basically what he's saying is it doesn't matter how many purines you get from your diet. It's how much uric acid you can get rid of. And if you have high insulin and your resistance to that insulin, then your body's going to keep all that uric acid in your body. And that's what's going to cause it.
Yep.
Not the red meat, not the purines from your diet. It's that you are preventing your body from getting rid of that uric acid.
Exactly. So anything that raises insulin levels chronically would be the true culprit. It's not the meat. But is there a compound that increases insulin and purine levels? And yes, there is. It's sugar. Specifically table sugar, which is sucrose, which is 50% glucose and 50% fructose. This is where the nuance of the argument comes into play. There's no purines in sugar themselves, so how can they raise purine levels? And here's a quote outlining the effects of fructose has on purine production. Fructose, for instance, accelerates the breakdown of a molecule known as ATP, which is a primary source of energy for cellular reactions and is loaded with purines. ATP stands for adenosine triphosphate. Adenosine is a form of adenine, and adenine is a purine. And so this, in turn, increases formation of uric acid. Fructose also stimulates the synthesis of purines directly, and the metabolism of fructose leads to the production of lactic acid, which in turn reduces the excretion of uric acid by the kidney, and so raises uric acid concentration indirectly by that mechanism. There you go. The breakdown of fructose causes our body to produce a ton of purines on its own. No dietary source required. And the problem with what I just said, a doctor can't explain this to, I don't know, the layman real fast in a doctor's visit.
Well, he might not even understand all that either.
That's true, right? It's hard. It kind of takes like a decent knowledge base and also a good capacity to explain and educate the public. It's way easier to say, just don't eat meat.
Yeah, especially if you're not trained in this type of stuff. A lot of doctors aren't really trained in nutrition and how food works with our body. They're more worried about how to recognize certain diseases and what drugs will fix those diseases. That's like their main breakdown of what they do. So like, they don't really need to understand all this. Sure, they probably learned some of this stuff in school. They learned it, took a test, forgot about it a month later. Because this is pretty complex stuff.
Yeah, it is. And this reminds me so much of cholesterol and heart disease.
Oh, for sure.
It's like one-to-one. Because you can explain cholesterol to like a basic person and they get it. Even though it's all wrong.
Yeah, and it's like a breakdown of that is the cholesterol in your diet has very little to no effect on the cholesterol in your body. Like this stuff is necessary. So your body's going to produce it even if you don't eat it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get protein. We need protein to survive. So we'll get protein from anything.
Yeah.
It's not like just meat has protein. It's the best source of protein, but there's still protein in beans, wheat, fruit, stuff like that too. Yeah.
Even though, like you said, all that protein sucks, but yeah, exactly. So yeah, after knowing a little bit more about how fructose is metabolized in the body, fructose should be avoided like the plague if you're suffering from gout. Like, it's horrible.
So I mentioned earlier that organ meat, seafood, and just game meat are like the three like main culprits when it comes to gout, according to like most doctors. The next things on the list are fruit juice, like other high sugary beverages, especially ones with high fructose corn syrup, like sodas, and then also pretty much honey, anything else that's going to be high in that type of stuff. And one of the other ones would be alcoholic beverages, because with alcoholic beverages, you're also going to get a lot of sugar. Think of like beer, mixed drinks, stuff like that.
Yep, exactly. And the metabolism of alcohol as well is very similar to fructose, where it produces a lot of purines as well. And that's a problem.
At the same time that it's raising insulin, so you can't get rid of that uric acid.
Exactly. So it's the same thing. You can get gout from drinking a bunch of beer, and you can get gout from eating a bunch of, I don't know, bananas. You know what I mean? It can happen. But there's also a genetic disposition to have gout as well. So that term, you know, it can run in the family. It happens with gout. But it's not a defect in the genes for protein metabolism. It's a defect in genes for fructose metabolism, further indicating fructose as one of the primary drivers for gout. And remember, sucrose, or simple table sugar, is half glucose and half fructose. And what makes this combo so bad? Here's a quote. Reaven's research reporting that high insulin levels and insulin resistance will increase uric acid levels, and it suggests, as Mays had remarked about triglycerides, that sugar and high fructose corn syrup would constitute the worst of all carbohydrates when it comes to uric acid and gout. The fructose would increase uric acid production and decrease uric acid excretion, while the glucose, through its effects on insulin, would also decrease uric acid excretion. Thus, it would be reasonable to assume, or at least to speculate, that sugar is a likely cause of gout, and that the patterns of sugar consumption explain the appearance and distribution of the disease. So sugar creates purines in excess through the metabolism of fructose, and from the hormonal response to glucose, prevents you from excreting them. It's a recipe for disaster. It's how you get gout. That's exactly how you do it.
It's just another case, and we've been talking about this all the time, how we can't blame sugar for anything, and we have to find another scapegoat. And this time, it really doesn't make sense that we're blaming some of the healthiest foods on the planet. Like, I don't know that many people that are really recommending that you don't eat shellfish or organ meats. Like, those are two of the, like, most nutrient-dense foods. They are the most most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. And most people, even if they are afraid of red meat and stuff like that, will still tell you, like, organ meats are fine, fish is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So eating a steak does elevate the purines in your blood for a short period of time, but your kidneys quickly eliminate the excess uric acid because eating steak won't spike your insulin levels. Therefore, there's no buildup and no chance of developing gout. Now, if you pair the steak with potatoes every day for years, then yes, the purines in steak can become a problem, and that's only because of the hormonal response to the carbs. The answer is to cut out the carbs, not the meat. And I've talked about, whatever, the last 20 minutes, how bad uric acid is, but uric acid in itself is not a bad thing. We've talked about it a million times, all about balance in our body. Uric acid is a natural antioxidant our body produces endogenously, which means it produces itself. Over 60% of the uric acid in our body made itself. Do you think vitamin C is a good antioxidant? Because everybody seems to, you know, they get sick, they run to go take vitamin C. Uric acid is better. This is one of the primary reasons humans stopped producing their own vitamin C. People don't know that, but we used to have genes that made us make our own vitamin C endogenously. We don't anymore. We have to get it from our diet. But uric acid is a reason we don't produce vitamin C anymore. The antioxidant roles that used to be given to vitamin C were taken over by uric acid. Along with all the products created by vitamin C are already preformed in our diet. Things like collagen and carnitine. Both of these substances are found abundantly in meat. So how can keto, to get to the whole keto point, help us with this? If insulin resistance is a real driver of gout, which it is, lowering your carbs is the best way to cure that. The foods that trigger gout flare-ups, foods rich in sugar, are all limited on the keto diet.
So what causes gout is the combination of insulin resistance and hyperinsulinemia. You need both of those things for your kidneys to basically stop excreting excess uric acid. And keto is the best way to get rid of both of them. You're eliminating carbs, so your insulin levels, that hyperinsulinemia, should go away. And then since your cells aren't being overloaded with glucose all the damn time, that insulin resistance should heal itself. And keto is the best way to deal with that.
Once again, keto's the answer. It just is. Now, there is a little caveat I have to talk about. If someone is on the borderline of gout flare-up, like their uric acid level is a little elevated, keto can't, which again, you wouldn't know. Like Tom said, once it happens right away. Going keto can cause a flare. That's because ketone bodies will compete with uric acid for excretion from the kidneys, and it can cause your body to reabsorb more uric acid for a short period of time and send you into a flare-up. But this is only during the adaptation phase of keto, and once you get through that, you'll be fine. And once again, it's that damn adaptation phase of keto that gets blamed for damn near every wrong thing about keto, even though it only happens like the first few weeks.
And at that point, you're probably still insulin resistant.
For sure.
So, like, yeah, that's going to cause your insulin levels to be even higher. Like, yeah, it takes some time for your body to heal itself. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen overnight. But this is caused by, you know, years, maybe decades of damage that you've done to your body. But, hey, in the long run, it's definitely worth it.
It's definitely worth it, yeah. So just go through, keep doing your thing, and keep trying to just go low carb. It is the answer for most ailments. I genuinely think that. And my opinion is informed as shit, okay?
So we've already talked about why it's good for diabetes. We talked about why it's good for your heart. Now we're talking about why it's good for your joints. I mean, that's three completely different organ systems going on there. And we're going to keep going.
Yeah, we're going to keep going, for sure.
I think we might be halfway through, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a ton of information out there. So, yeah, so that's what's going on with gout and why going low carb is the answer for that. And, yeah, hopefully you guys learned something. Did you have a tip of the week this week?
Yeah, so this one is make everyday chores a workout. So, hey, I'm trying to train a shit ton right now. Like, I got some crazy goals. I got a 50K coming up next week, and that's the easiest one of my goals I got for the next 6 months. So I'm trying to squeeze in workouts whenever I can. So last week, my fiance asked me to go to the store because I forgot to buy one thing. So most people would be like, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go to the store just for one thing. But I was like, you know what? Instead of complaining about it, I was like, I can make a workout out of it. So I needed to get my HIIT training in anyway. And I talked about a couple weeks ago how I can't get HIIT training in on the treadmill. And I love getting, like, sprinting in. That's, like, my favorite way because, hey, I'm trying to run. If I want to run faster, the best way to get running faster is to run as fast as you can.
For sure.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, the store is about a mile away from me, so I'll do sprints. So I did 4 sprints there and then 4 sprints back. So I sprint for about 10, 15 seconds, walk for like another minute and a half, and then sprint again. Did that 4 on the way there, 4 on the way back. Not only did I complete a chore that I needed to do, got a great workout in, and instead of, like, you know, creating a little argument between me and my fiance, everything's good. I'm happy to do it. She's happy that I went and did it. Problem solved. Yeah. And, like, you can do this with, like, damn near any part of your life. Like, I keep a pull-up bar in my bedroom door. So, like, anytime I walk past that, I'll do a couple pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to go, like, to failure, but at least get a little bit in. I've been doing this lately because I've been really trying to work on my foot speed. Is I live upstairs in an apartment, so anytime I go up the stairs, I'm doing foot speed drills on the stairs. It's probably pissing off my neighbors, but nobody said anything yet.
Yeah.
So there's just kind of like just stuff like that. There's all these opportunities for you to get some like workout in. You don't need to spend 2 hours in the gym if you're being active like all throughout the day like that.
For sure. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You're talking to the guy who does spend 2 hours in the gym and doesn't do shit the rest of the day. I literally do all my work in the morning and then I sit in a chair all day.
Yeah.
Like the exact opposite, but it's how I do it. But yeah, that's a good tip. If you don't have the time, which most people don't, to take that much time in the gym, you can get your workout in plenty of different ways. It's out there. You just have to be a little bit creative. Well, all right, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe to our podcast. And if you know anybody with gout, please share this episode with them. They'll find it really helpful. And it's definitely an argument that not a lot of people are making. I don't hear too many people talking about gout, especially in the keto world. And I'm absorbing so much keto information I have been for the last 4 or 5 years. So yeah, please share this episode with a friend. You can rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.